Our present meditation is on Saint Elizabeth Seton. First, a bit of biography. As we know, Mother Seton, Saint Elizabeth Seton, was raised in the Anglican, non-Catholic religion. A very staunch and fervent Anglican. Her husband died, left her with children, and then, through the friendship of an Italian family from Italy, she began to study, read, pray, and became a Catholic. Her lifespan is, born in 1774, she died in 1821. She was converted to the Catholic faith in 1805. I'm not sure. No, it's 1803. She was canonized in 1975. She is commonly regarded as the foundress of Catholic education among children in our country, the foundress of the Catholic school system. Once she became a Catholic, she paid dearly for her Catholic allegiance. First of all, with the death of her husband and the loss of all her property, she became desperately poor. Providentially, the bishop, the first bishop of the United States, was, who knows, Archbishop Carroll. And he was a Jesuit. Except for him, whatever else God might have done with Elizabeth Seton, there would have been no either foundation of the Sisters of Charity in the United States, or less still, the Catholic school system. During the 4 years I lived at Georgetown University, huge bronze statue of Bishop Carroll, the first bishop of our country, and not only a great friend of Elizabeth Seton, but convinced, as she was, that the Catholic Church will even survive, not to say thrive, only if we have Catholic schools, especially for the children, that are conducted by dedicated, strongly committed religious women. We might describe, and over the years in lecturing on Mother Seton, I've always associated her with what I call American spirituality. Here's the way I put it as an opening theme. American spirituality is not essentially distinctive, but it is a qualifying form. That is, it is different. A distinct form of our approach to God, as characterized by certain features that are typical of American culture. In other words, not only an individual's, but a whole nation's spiritual life is deeply affected by the culture of the people among whom a potential or prospective saint is living. Consequently, I think it would be worth our while to identify the characteristics of American culture, which then correspondingly affect American spirituality. First of all, in the United States, our laws and institutions of the state are all of Protestant origin. Elizabeth Seton needs to be much better understood than I'm afraid she is. She knew very well from her Protestant ancestry how deeply Protestant is the culture of our country. Again, characteristic of American culture and affecting our nation's spirituality is not just the English language, but English in the sense of British influence. It is impossible to overestimate the profound influence of both the English language and what I'm calling the British culture on American society, and correspondingly, therefore, affecting both positively and, if I may say it, defensively, what we're calling American spirituality. For example, I've said this by now how many times? The English language is simply a Catholic language. It just isn't. Catholics speak English. And there are British who are Catholic. But the language is not Catholic. Saying that, it means, therefore, that from their youngest years, American children read without a second thought what they call English literature. They know all about Tennyson and Byron and Keats and Shelley, memorize thousands of words. Yeah, the literature of the English language for 150 years has been almost exclusively non-Catholic. Elizabeth Seton knew this. That's why there's no mere prelude. It is in order to appreciate and more deeply understand what the Holy Father, when he canonized Elizabeth Seton, as a pattern for American Catholics to follow. Again, a characteristic of the American culture, deeply affecting the spiritual life, is the primacy of individual liberty . In other words, each individual is free. Who doubts it? But there is such, respect is too weak a word, such adulation of the freedom of each individual that, in the name of liberty, an individual, by law, can do almost what the individual pleases. Going back, of course, to the foundations of Protestantism. Again, a characteristic of American culture affecting our spirituality. The implicit subordination of church to state. He is just assumed, given, I repeat, our culture. And there is only one visible authority on earth. And that is the state. What the state decrees becomes not just a civil law, becomes part of the mind of, shall I say, patriotic Americans. Our Supreme Court legalized the murder of unborn children. And 200 million Americans Well, that's the law. Again, characteristic of American culture. Authority is essentially exercised through representation. You elect those whom then, well, you obey. If anywhere in the world our nation is democratic, and the majority, maybe by 0.1%, becomes the law. All of this, by the way, I'm drawing from years of reading from and about Elizabeth Seton. There was a stress in American culture on temporal well-being. Progress is measured in terms of a higher income, less work, and more enjoyment of what? Well, the world can offer. Again, typical of American culture, which deeply affects every one of us. I could be speaking to an audience of 10,000 and I'd say the same thing. Again, the stress on education, but here for democracy. If society is to be democratic, run by the demos, the people, these people better be educated. When a couple of years ago, I gave a lecture, which I said, the purpose of Catholic education was to prepare people for eternity. There was a summary in the newspaper. This Father Hardin, he is out of his mind. May continue. Characteristic of American culture is the extraordinary material resources that our nation has. I may have said this on some occasion during my graduate studies in Rome as a priest. I would offer a mass and hear the confessions of some 400 orphans in a Roman orphanage. And during the breakfast that I had after the mass, I talked to the director of the orphanage. I'll never forget what he told me. If I didn't have the faith, I'd become a communist tomorrow. Here we are, he says, Italy. A population then of over 50 million, and Italy is smaller than your one single state of Pennsylvania. Fabulous material resources. One more characteristic. Oh, by the way, I repeat, drawn from the writing by and about St. Elizabeth Seton. American culture is identified by its extraordinary tolerance. Tolerance is almost a way of life. You've got your ideas, I've got mine. And the very word dissent, which has entered the English vocabulary, the dictionaries that I use define dissent as holding an opinion contrary to someone else's opinion. The Bishop of Rome has his opinion, I've got mine. Finally, practicality and organization. Bad grammar, but good theology. That's us. You can organize good things, and having lived in Chicago for so many years, Al Capone, the professional gangster, could only have lived in America. Organized crime. The mafia in Italy have nothing, I assure you, on American criminals. So much for what I'm calling the characteristics of American culture and their influence on spirituality. Now, as we have been doing some of the features of Mother Seton's spirituality, she did not write extensively. Most of what we know about her comes from her letters and, of course, from the people who knew her. First, and this is good to hear, St. Elizabeth Seton, to her dying day, recognized the activity of God's grace among those who are Christians indeed, but not Catholic. And not surprisingly, the first book that I ever published was on the Protestant Churches of America. God does give His grace, needed to say, that's our faith, to all human beings. And those who believe in Christ and are validly baptized, they receive special, distinctive graces. And the secret, St. Elizabeth would say, is to recognize those graces and build on them. After my 5 years of teaching at a state university, I published a book, which could have been 7 volumes. I just didn't have the time. And I call the book The Hungry Generation. American non-Catholic Christians are hungry for what we, as Catholics, possess, and if we just had the zeal, could share with them. My 5 years on the faculty of the State University in Michigan, I never once in 5 years remember having gone to bed before midnight. Never. And had to get up early. Time for a 6:30 mass, a mile away from where I lived. The hunger of those who may call themselves Christians, but do not have the fullness of our faith. God's grace, St. Elizabeth would say, is deeply at work in their souls. Second feature, the necessity of Catholic schools. How this needs to be underlined and shouted from the mountaintops. Over 85% of all Catholic schools in America have closed down. And behind the closing of these schools was that so many once dedicated religious women had allowed themselves to be infected, and so many destroyed by what we casually call our American culture. As one nun wrote, she had just got her Ph.D., my favorite pronunciation. Are we nuns to be nurses to other people's children? Not me. And part of that responsibility is so many Americanized Catholic priests. We have the priest dean of Catholic University opening of classes in September. Some 1,000 sisters, all then in the religious habit. He talks to the sisters before he began his lecture. He said, when are you women going to take off that clown's habit? When are you going to leave the Middle Ages and enter modern times? The necessity of Catholic education, except for the Sisters of Notre Dame who taught me. I'm sure before God I would not be a priest today. Third feature of St. Elizabeth's spirituality, concern for the poor. The irony of American society worshiping wealth and canonizing those who are financially in power? Well, there's a lot of wealth in America. There is also an awful, awful lot of desperate poverty. I could never thank God enough for the poverty in which I was reared. Never had a telephone. Never had a car. Very seldom could we afford even a newspaper. In fact, one reason why some people become so wealthy is because they have drained the resources of other people who then became poor. We continue. One of the great features of St. Elizabeth Seton's spirituality is what she calls the transforming power of the Eucharist. I went to the library and I was just so happy to find this book, The Great American Foundresses. The book goes back some generations. Elizabeth Seton had just become a Catholic. Pardon me, I was right. It is 1805. To be exact, March the 14th, 1805. The day of a reception into the Catholic Church, she wrote, "Light of heart and cool of hand, the first time these many months, but not without begging our Lord to wrap my heart deep in that open side so well described in the beautiful crucifixion . Then came the time for her first confession. She had just come out of the confessional, went home. Oh, by the way, she did keep a journal. My recommendation. How awful those words of unloosing after 30 years of bondage. I felt as if my chains fell as those of St. Peter at the touch of the divine messenger. My God, what new scenes for my soul. But the climax came in preparation for her first communion. Annunciation Day, March the 25th, I've got it straight now, 1805. I shall be made one with him who said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall not have life in you. I count these days and hours, yet a few more of hope and expectation. And then, how bright the sun, these morning walks of preparation. Deep snow or smooth ice, all to me is the same. I see nothing but the little bright cross on St. Peter's steeple where she would make her first communion. Well, she made her first communion. Then she wrote, "At last, God is mine, and I am his. Now, let all go its round. I have received him. I feel all the powers of my soul held fast by him who came with so much majesty to take possession of his little poor kingdom." An Easter communion now, in my green pastures, amidst the refreshing fountain for which I thirsted truly. To her dying day, Elizabeth kept herself united with our Lord in the Eucharist. She believed, I have to say this, as only a convert can believe, Jesus Christ, my God, is with me in the Blessed Sacrament and within me at Holy Communion. Next feature of St. Elizabeth's spirituality. Mind you, this goes back almost 200 years. And already then, she knew that the United States was dominated by a secularist philosophy, otherwise known as a worldly philosophy. She believed this, she taught this, and she lived it. There was only one effective way of confronting secularism, and that is with a cross. "That's the weapon we've got," she would keep saying. "It's the cross. There is no other effective way of conquering the world, either in our own hearts or in the world in which we live." Finally, part of her spirituality was adapting without compromising. How crucial those two words are. Adapting to American culture without compromising one's Catholic faith. And that is what's happened to so many, Lord, too many, priests, religious, and the once faithful Catholic laity in our nation. He must become acculturated. Fine. But you don't become acculturated unless you remain faithful, and that's the word, to the cross. And the cross is, no figure of speech this, the cross is that the society in which we live in so many ways is at exactly 90 degrees contrary to what we as Catholics believe. So far from conforming to the secularist culture in our society, this is Elizabeth. We should do everything in our power to bring our culture to conform to the teaching and the life of Jesus Christ. In closing this section, pardon me, this meditation on St. Elizabeth Seton, I would like to give you a few statements made by the Holy Father when he canonized St. Elizabeth. What the United States needs, the Bishop of Rome said, is modern America, in modern America, in modern America, in modern America. In other words, well, the theme of our retreat has been America needs saints. Only saints will be able to, I don't say, preserve the Catholic faith. But convert America. Second thing, what the United States needs is Catholic women who are models of selfless love. Oh, what a statement. Over the years, I've taught it, I've written it, and I believe it. As women go, so goes a nation. The Vicar of Christ is telling us Elizabeth Seton is a model for women to realize the power they have in the deepest sense of the word to Christianize our beloved nation. Third, lesson which the Holy Father drew when he canonized Elizabeth Seton. The strength and growth of Catholic institutions, especially institutions of learning conducted by religious. St. Elizabeth Seton was canonized exactly 20 years ago. and she wasn't canonized one day too early. As again, religious go, so goes the church. No question. The Catholic Church can exist as long as there is will. A bishop of Rome, bishops as successors of the apostles and priests to offer Mass and your confessions. Yes. But for the well-being of the church, this is the church's teaching, for the well-being of the church, we distinguish in Latin between esse and bene esse. Esse, to exist. Bene esse, to thrive. To thrive, the church needs religious. This evening I was talking to the American superior of an institution, Metter Institute, International, where the sisters take care of the mentally and emotionally retarded or handicapped, as they're called. Their work is extremely demanding. All their institutions in the United States are in danger of not surviving because American vocations are not coming. So now, they're drawing vocations from India, most recently from Romania. Elizabeth Seton is the mother founder, as we may say, of the Catholic school system in our country. How we need to pray and beg the dear Lord to give women the love of Jesus Christ, and that means the love of Christ's cross, so that the institutions of our nation, the schools, the hospitals, the homes for the aged, will even survive, not to say thrive. Finally, this again is the Holy Father. In canonizing Elizabeth Seton, he said, she is the model of what the Catholic Church understands by the ecumenical movement. Two things. That we love those who do not share the fullness of our Catholic faith. We love them. But secondly, that we have no illusions of what a much used and abused word means, I'm afraid, for many, even Catholics. Ecumenism means, well, the Protestants give up something of what they've got, and we give up something of what we've got, and then we become friends. No, no. We have the fullness of God's truth. How many people I've told, especially in teaching Protestants, as I have over the years, the great gift that Christ gave us was his physical, bodily, living presence on earth in the Holy Eucharist. You don't gloss over that by the cheap use of ecumenism. In other words, we are to strive to bring the millions who call themselves Christians, to bring them closer and closer to the one true faith, so that finally, please God, embracing the faith that God became man to proclaim, like Elizabeth Seton, you'll find such joy. How I like to say this. When Elizabeth Seton was dying, she told her sisters to recite with her the Anima Christi. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. But her sisters, standing around the deathbed, were so overcome by sorrow, they could not finish the Anima Christi. She finished it herself and died. Oh, how we need to learn something of the spirituality of this American saint to bring the millions of our fellow Americans who are hungering for Jesus Christ and to have them believe, as we do, that Jesus is here. All he wants us is to tell him, I believe. And because I believe, I love. Saint Elizabeth Seton, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.